joined by Delaware Senator Tom Carper, who has announced today that he will support the administration's Iran nuclear deal. Senator, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
In your op-ed piece, you offered a number of reasons for supporting the deal. Did one or two hold more weight in influencing your decision?
Well, a lot of the critics of the deal have said, well, why don't we just not do this deal? Why don't we negotiate a better deal? So one of the things that a number of my colleagues and I did is we actually met with the ambassadors and representatives from our five negotiating partners, the Brits, the French, the Germans, the Russians, the Chinese. And one of the questions I asked these folks, I said, well, what do you think? Maybe we should just go back and get a better deal. And I said, are you kidding? This is a better deal than we ever thought we'd get. Intrusive inspections, the ability to monitor in all different kinds of ways, however the Iranians might someday want to cheat and actually pursue a nuclear program again. They said, it's the best deal that we can imagine getting. And besides, in the end of the day, if the Iranians cheat, we're smart enough, we're good enough to actually know it, given the kind of intrusive inspections that we'll have up and down the line throughout Iran. We'll know it. And one of the things that most people aren't focused on is if they cheat, we'll catch them. And what the U.S. can do is impose not just U.S. sanctions on these guys if they decide to go back to develop a nuclear weapon, but we can reimpose the entire broad range of economic sanctions, multilateral sanctions, global sanctions that have been put in place. And, it's those crippling sanctions that have really compelled the Iranians to come to the bargaining table a year and a half ago. And it brought down their economy. They have hyperinflation, they have high unemployment. They have, transportation system that's in terrible shape. Their airplanes that don't fly. They're a mess. And if they decide to screw it up and go back and have some kind of covert nuclear program, we can reimpose all these economic sanctions. I don't think most people are focused on that. The other thing that I would remind us of, at the end of the day, if some guy like Ahmadinejad, who was a former president, who was a bad guy, very bad guy, thought the Holocaust was a fiction and wanted to blow the Israelis off the face of the earth, if they end up with somebody like that in their leadership again and decide to go the wrong way on nuclear program, all the options are on the table, including military option. And our president has made very clear, his predecessors made very clear, that if need be, we're not going to allow the Iranians to have a nuclear weapon. And we're willing and prepared to take some very tough measures. In the meantime, before we do that, well, why don't we at least give this agreement a chance and see if the Iranians will pursue it? The last thing I would mention is this. 1979, the Iranian Revolution, they took over our embassy, held a bunch of our embassy personnel as hostages for a year. Today, Iran is a nation of 78 million people. 78 million people. Their average age is 25. Most of those folks don't remember the Iranian Revolution. They weren't around in 1979. They never knew the Shahs, the really bad, cruel guys, a dictator in Iran that we popped up for all those years. They don't even know. They were not alive when he was ruling the country with our support. And they want a better, most of the people in Iran want a better relationship with us. Rouhani, the president, does. Zarif, who's the foreign minister, does. Most of the people do as well. I've had several friends have been over in Iran this year, some with their families, and they just couldn't get over the kind of warm reception that they got all over Iran from people. They want a better relationship with us, and I think at the end of the day, it's worth a chance. And if they screw up, a cheap guy in the end, or they have some new kind of leadership that wants to go back, we can nail them.
You mentioned earlier the enforcement piece of it, and that's one thing you said all along that you would be looking closely at, the ability to enforce this deal. What did you see or hear that made you comfortable with enforcement?
Part of it, and I can't get into this in a telephone interview, but some of the ability of the reach of our intelligence into Iran to find, to understand, and to know what they're doing. The other piece is, under the agreement, it says the International Atomic Energy Agency can go in and have literally 24/7 presence in their nuclear facilities. But the question is, what if they have a secret facility? And we finally find out about that. How long does it take us to get in there for the International Atomic Energy Agency? How long is it taking to get in and actually see what's going on? And there could be as much as 24 days. And that sounds like a long time. As it turns out, when countries, like Iran or anybody else, they are doing something of the nuclear nature. The ability to scrub it, to clean it, to get rid of it, it's like the stain that won't go away. And so one of the comforting things for me was the IAEA, the National Atomic Energy Agency, can get in there and maximum, longest period of time to investigate a suspicious activity in 24 days. There's no way in the world that the Iranians are going to scrub it, clean the place up, and get rid of whatever evidence is there. These isotopes are so... they just don't go away. So I think that was comforting for me as well.
You mentioned earlier talking to other negotiating partners, representatives from those other countries, about their support and how there really isn't an ability to go back and get another deal, that this is the best deal and maybe a better deal than most people thought we could get. Is there some genuine surprise from some of our negotiating partners that this is such a big debate amongst folks in Congress?
Well, it's ironic because when we were negotiating early on with the Iranians, among the toughest nations, toughest on the Iranians, were the French. And to some extent, the Brits. But there were a couple of times the French seemed like harder edge than we did in these negotiations. Well, so now that the deal is done, been negotiated, and the other five negotiating partners, the British, the French, the Germans, the Chinese, and the Russians had a chance to drill down and to study it and so forth. The pushback in those countries does not exist. There is almost like no opposition. They basically concluded that this is a pretty good deal. Why don't we give it a chance? And there are some folks in our country who don't see it that way. Certainly Netanyahu doesn't see it that way. But we'll see where we are. I think we've got 30 or so senators now that say they're going to vote to not override the president's veto. And so we have a couple more, and we'll see how things turn in the next several days.
You've mentioned you've talked to so many people as you've done your due diligence in looking at this deal. Were there any people whose input stood out as being especially persuasive to you?
Well, it turns out there are scores of Israeli military leaders, former military leaders, admirals, generals, a bunch of folks in their intelligence service who have gone public and we think this is a pretty good deal. Even though the Prime Minister of Israel doesn't think so, we do. We think it's a good deal. They think it's in the best interest of Israel to do this deal. So I found that compelling. That a lot of American flag officers, admirals, generals, other people who are steeped in intelligence, many of them retired now, and saying the same kind of thing. For me, I'm a retired Navy flag officer. Also an intelligence officer in the Navy, served in the Vietnam War. The word of the Israeli military leaders, past and present intelligence service people over there and in this country as well, to me that was very helpful too.
Finally, Senator Carper, your Senate colleague from Delaware, Chris Coons, hasn't yet said if he'll support the deal. He is scheduled to announce his position on Tuesday. Have you or will you talk to him about the deal and attempt to move him toward a yes vote?
He's been in Africa. He's a very senior member in the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, and he led a congressional delegation to Africa. I think he comes back today, sometime late this week, maybe be back already. But I've not spoken to him in about 2 weeks, and he, like me, is actually doing a lot of reading, a lot of due diligence, talking to a lot of folks on both sides of the issue, and giving it the kind of attention that it deserves. And like most of us, he wants to figure out the right thing to do and to do that, and wants to be very well informed, and that's his nature. And I applaud him for that. I'm sure at the end of the day, he'll do what he thinks is right.
All right, Senator Carper, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tom.